Okay, so you left Fieldings, obviously, and it all happened fairly rapidly by the sound of it, the way things went on. Okay, I know you did an awful lot more in your career because you actually met up, quite a few years afterwards and worked together for a while. But what happened after, was it Daniels you said you went to?
After T.H. Daniels, they went into liquidation receivership or whatever it was. I left them eventually and went and got a job, I think it was at Muir Hill.
Oh, right.
Back on hydraulics, on the research and development team, designing the hydraulics for the big buckets, the XL crane, and many other things like dirt movers.
Yeah.
But it was so boring because they would give you a cigarette packet drawing of a right-angled bracket, and if you made it in less than 3 days, you were God. And it was something you put in the vice, hit with a hammer, and it was made. So it was just boring.
Yeah.
And so I left there, and I then went to Gloucester Cerro.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Building petrol and oil tankers.
Yeah.
Lasted there a few years. And then my brother, who was working at Simon Baron, they had just landed a large contract with Russia. Were screw conveyors, and they were looking for fitters. So he mentioned it to the works manager. I was invited for an interview. I got the job, and 8 weeks after starting, he called me in the office and said, they don't want me on the shop floor anymore. They're going to give me a car and send me out as a commissioning engineer on the road.
Oh, right.
So from then on, I was doing animal feed mills, flour mills, everything. Duck farms, pig farms, never ending.
Yeah, this is where we actually, I don't know whether we actually met at Simon Baron, but I went there on the drawing board to start off with. And one of the first jobs I worked on was the BOCM mills. Were you on those?
I was a commissioning engineer on BOCM.
Were you?
Alton, Bristol.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm quite interested in the Simon Baron link. Because I did a lot of the drawings for the BOCM mills, so I did quite a few of the plan views and at least one elevation, so I did quite a bit on them. I'll never forget the screens on the top floor of those mills. They were a new design to Barron's, and they tried to copy another manufacturer's. And it didn't work because the other manufacturer put counterbalance weights on their screens and Barron's decided they weren't needed. And when you've got, I can't remember what height those things were installed at, but they were pretty big, and there was four of them, I think, on the top floor. And it tried to shake the whole building to pieces.
Now, that was the general thing with the Tuscan sieve. They did have a counterbalance weight, which went around in a 8-sided type of box on the drive end, and that was recessed for lead weights to go in.
Oh, right.
Or whatever weight you needed.
Yeah.
And you could judge the weight you wanted by holding a pencil over the frame and ran it, and it you had to get like a slightly elliptical shape with your pencil.
Yeah.
And when you got that shape, it was in balance.
Yeah. Yeah.
If it was all over the place, start again.
Yeah.
A lot of companies accepted delivery and decided not to use our expertise and duly filled these boxes up with oil.
Wow.
So the whole building from top to bottom was trying to lift the foundation bolts up.
Yeah.
And I went everywhere from Norway, Sweden, Finland, all over Scandinavia rectifying, and every time there was oil in the boxes. So we were trying to turn a weight through a solid mass of oil.
Yeah.
And it just would not go.
No. Incredible. Mm. Yeah, it was. They were quite something. I'd still drive past one at Exeter, and they're just extending that. I don't know if you've driven past recently, but I looked over a few weeks back, and I thought, wow, look at that. They're putting a big extension on the side of it. So, yeah, it's you still get quite proud when you... When I walk into a place like that and thought, well, I drew that, it's a lovely feeling, really. So it's quite interesting, yeah. Anyway, we're digressing a bit. After Simon Barron, I know you then moved to Simon Solitek. And the one story I do remember is, I think you're up in Scotland sometime. Was it Scotland? And you decided that there was a caravan in front of you, and rather than going round it, you go through it. Can you maybe expand on that a bit?
Yeah, well, it was, there was a car in front of me, and I had just stopped at a cafe on the side of the road, because it was greasy and icy, and it wasn't compulsory to wear seat belts, and I thought, I'll put a belt on. And I went back onto the road, and away I went, car in front. I thought, well, I'll just go round him, and it was an oncoming Volkswagen towing a caravan. But the caravan unit pulled out onto my side of the road. So we are now on a head-on collision.
Yeah.
The car managed to get past me, but left the front wing of the caravan sticking out, which I put on my bonnet and took back up the road. And I finished up in Wigmore Hospital in Inverness with a broken collarbone, lots of other bits, and our Scottish rep, Alec Mackey.
I remember Alec, yeah.
Because my wife was actually in Scotland at the time, in Lanark with her mother. He actually picked her up and brought her up, treated her to lunch, dinner, and gave her the lowdown.
Yeah.
So it was, all in all, not too bad a thing, but
it
did go to court.
Yeah.
And the sheriff in the Scottish court said, after all the witnesses, have we got the right man in the box?
Oh.
And this wizened old chap, he just said, "Aye, my lord." And I got fined, I think it was something like £10 or something.
Yeah.
It was, until I want time to pay.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought, can I stretch it?
Yeah, well, you were basically out on the road a lot at that time. And were you with Solitek until, I mean, it sort of changed hands a few times. Were you there when it went bump the first time? Did you work for our friend Dan McCauley, who took over?
Yes, I worked for Dan McCauley, yeah. But I went through everything from Simon Barron, Simon Solitek, Simon Handling,
Simon Engineering.
And when you think of it, all at the beginning of the days, it all started as W.S. Barron on Bristol Road.
Yeah, yeah.
Who I joined when they had this previous contract.
Yeah, going
back. So I'd done about 40 years with Simon.
Right.
I know they made a presentation of about, was it a cheque for £400?
Oh.
After that, it was like £100 per 10 years or something.
Yeah,
and I went out and bought a load of, Aerocon furniture or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it delivered to you with a test bay.
Yeah.
Where Bernard Craig duly signed for it.
Okay, Dick, well, we've spoken about Solitek, where we both worked for quite a few years, but then we parted company because I went one way and you went another. So where did you go after that?
I worked for several other companies. I finished up, I've clocked up 46 or 47 countries now I've been to.
Wow.
Including holiday countries. But there's at least 38 business contacts there. I've been everywhere from China, Japan, by Alaska, fishing boats with pelleting plants on, which I had to stand on the quayside in Norway and go on board this where they were pelletizing fish they just caught, having taken the oil out. And then when I'd finished all my work, which was about 2 weeks, and I went back up on deck, I said, "I've finished, all yours, drop me off on the shore." They did, but it was Canada. I then had to get a flight back, and I wouldn't say I smelt the best, because I've been on a fishing boat for a long time. And I had to go back to Norway, because Picard was there, the hire car, still on the dockside, so I had to get that, take that back, get another flight back to London. And I'm not sure if my actual car was in Birmingham, because I was going backward and forward. So I was totally, like, 3 or 4 days trying to get back home.
Yeah, yeah.
So I say I clocked up. I've been on oil rigs, got my certificates for that. The world's largest pipeline barge.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like a meter diameter pipe, which started off in the Norwegian sector.
Wow.
And they were like 30 meter lengths.
Yeah.
They were welded together on the ship. Then they were bombed with an X-ray.
Mm.
And if that was all right, it was wrapped up in like plastic, like an electrical tape, but white stuff. And then a skin went round and they poured in like a ready-mixed cement full of like steel needles.
Wow.
That vibrated and it was hard within 15 minutes and watertight.
Wow.
So then it was slid over the back of the ship and
yeah.
just followed.
Yeah.
We were moving along. One day we had to up sticks because of the weather forecast, and they just capped the pipe out, put a cap on it, welded it on, dropped the end in the water, and away we went.
Presumably they left a buoy on it so you could pick it up again.
They didn't need to. It was
oh.
all sat nav stuff in those
oh,
days.
Oh, right, wow.
And they could get the ship right over, drop a hook down, and just pick
wow.
it up.
Wow.
Yeah.
yeah.
They couldn't have a buoy on it because it's quite a busy
oh, right,
for ships.
Yeah. yeah.
Somebody would have got tangled up in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
so, yeah, I've been quite a lot of places
yeah.
all over Europe, several places in Africa, China, I've been a few times with
mm.
rubber tire factories, carbon black, horrible stuff.
Yeah.
That's where I learned the difference between spherical and flat carbon black.
Oh, that's getting a bit technical. What's
yeah.
that then?
You can't mix the two.
Ah.
One portion of carbon black is like miniaturized ball bearings.
Yeah.
And the other one is like a flat flake.
Yeah.
And you can't use the two in the same process because they just don't bind.
What we're talking about here is the black stuff, which is basically, if you rub your hand across a car tire, the black stuff is carbon black, and it gets into your skin, it gets into your pores. You have a shower and it still comes out of your pores and you're filthy for days. But yeah, so but you moved on again because you ended up at a company called Wham, didn't you?
Yes, I finished up with Bill Palmer, who was at one time financial controller at one of the Simon Solidex
mm.
or whatever, and I was not out of work. I was actually working in Scotland for Paul Fairbank.
Oh, right.
He had his own business going, and he had a contract with the brickworks, but he had some Scottish labour that never got out of the van
mm.
on site, and he bumped into me in a pub in town and just said, do I want a job for a few weeks? Again, we agreed the money. I didn't want to use my car, which was an old Sierra. So he gave me his Volvo because he'd just been banned from drink driving. So I had
hmm.
transport immediately. And I finished that contract for him and
hmm.
got that done. And I was just coming to the end of it when the phone went and it was Bill Palmer.
Hmm.
And he said, I know you're working for Paul. I've already discussed with Paul. How would you like to come and work with me?
Hmm.
He said, no tools, just pure sales.
Mm.
And so I went across, had a meeting. We kind of argued the toss over the company car I would have. He wants to get me a Cavalier. I don't want a Cavalier. Every rep's got a Cavalier. So I wanted a Renault Laguna.
Oh, right.
It had to be red and with fairing on the boot. He got it for me, and it was an 1800cc. All the other reps had 1200s, and they couldn't understand why they couldn't keep up with me, because he got the garage to change the 1.8 and put a 1.2 sticker on the side to keep the other workers happy. But in the end, Bill had too much to drink one day and told everybody,
oh.
and they said, no wonder we can't keep up with you.
yeah,
yeah, so I say I clocked up a lot of miles, a lot of countries, without Fielding and Platt's expertise and training,
mm.
I don't think I'd have been anywhere.
Yeah.
The training was second to none. It was brilliant.
Yeah. Everybody we interview says the same thing. Really, don't they?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
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 But they always said if you've done time at Fielding and Plaque, you can get a job anywhere in the world.
And that has been said, I don't know how many times as well.
That's true. The number of jobs I've applied for was A, the apprenticeship, B, Pratt Daniel, Gloucester Sarah was offered me, Simon Barron was offered me, and Wham was offered me. So in 60 odd years, I've had two applications. I've been headhunted, I've been interviewed in Chester in the Blossoms Hotel for APV.
Peterborough.
They didn't get my name as instead of a hat. It was Cadbury's Chocolate Factory, Bourneville.
Oh, yeah.
They recommended me to them because
I
was doing a lot of work for Cadbury.
Yeah, yeah.
And they said, the man you want. But I didn't take the job because they wanted me to move to Peterborough. But they wanted me to work overseas 4 months out of every six.
Yeah.
But they wanted me to move immediately. And I said, I will not move immediately because I don't want to be captive. I said, if we get on well in 6 to 12 months, I said, I'll move the family up. But I'm not going to move up and be held to ransom.
Yeah.
So in the end, we shook hands and said goodbye.
Yeah, that sort of happened in a way with me and Bueller. But that's another story.
Yeah.
Okay, now, you've obviously done a lot, been a lot of places. I noticed that you've got a very nice big camper van outside. Now, I've got one of the other things called a caravan, which you obviously look down your nose at. But how long have you been camper vanning, and where do you get to, Andy?
Well, we've been camping since the age of about 16. And we started off with tents.
Yeah.
We've worked up our way up. We've never had a caravan. Never wanted a caravan because they're...
You just destroy them instead.
I'm good at destroying them. But we refer to them as wobbly boxes. They're not a nice thing to be in front of you. I've got a nice motorhome. It's a Mercedes. It goes like the bats out of hell. It's comfortable. And we spend on an average 10 weeks in a row in France every year. And we also do Spain, Portugal, all over the UK, and probably every other weekend.
Yeah.
We go to places like Stratford-on-Avon, close.
Yeah.
In fact, I was there last week and got two parking tickets with the van.
Yeah.
The reason? It was too big to put in the parking bay for a car.
So
they gave me
two tickets.
£100.
Lovely.
So the letter went today saying, sorry, I'm not allowed to park it in a lorry bay or a bus bay. Big writing, no. I've got to park in a car park. And I've been parking there for 3 years, every other weekend, from spring to autumn. No trouble. They must have a new chap.
Yeah.
Probably a Dan McCauley.
Could be.
Yeah,
it's we're doing similar things. We're not going abroad these days, but we're down in Hampshire in a week, just over a week's time. We're doing Scotland for a month in July. We have caravan must travel, but you're one of these camper van people that take up all the room on the blooming sites. But that's another story.
Well, they are rather large.
Yeah.
I mean, mine comes in at 4 ton and the average caravan comes in at about 1.25 ton.
It's just bigger than that.
I wouldn't change it, I should say.
No.
It's a lovely life.
It's great, and it's been great seeing you again, Dick. I think we've more or less covered most points. Everybody that we interview always says that the foundation of their career is Fieldings, and it is. It's been very good to quite a few of us, I reckon, over the years. So thanks again, Dick. Your wife did say to you that you were going to make us a cup of tea or coffee, but I see it hasn't arrived yet, so maybe we ought to remind you.
They are quite cheap. I'll put the kettle on.
Thanks, Dick.